This morning, we are continuing our walk through the Ten Commandments. And I get to speak this morning on this Ten Commandment that most of us will look at it and say, I have no issues with this one. I grew up in the King James Version era, and it was simply Exodus 20:15, thou shalt not steal. And when I looked at it, I thought, man, how many ways can you say this? Dude, if it's not yours, don't take it. I mean, there's not many ways you can look at it. So I looked at it in the New Living Translation, and it says, you must not steal. And I thought, well, let me see what the Message has to say about it. Because the Message, you know, it's not a translation, more of a paraphrase, and it really draws things out, usually very flowery or poetically. It says, no stealing. I thought, man, how many ways can you say this? But you know, this morning I want to ask you a question, and I hope that you would look at this question a little bit differently in about 15 minutes than you would look at it 5 minutes ago. And the question is simply, are you a thief? And I want us to get to the heart of what that means a little bit this morning. And like I said, most of us will say no. But as we look in God's Word for the next few minutes, I just pray that you'll let God challenge you in that. You don't have to be all that alert to know that our country is in a pretty bad economic situation. And be praying over all the decisions that are being made this weekend, this week, and things that are to come. But it's amazing what people will do, what the economy has driven some people to do to get what they want. There was this guy in Seattle who, I guess, was running out of gas in his own car, and he saw an RV parked along a sidewalk, and so he went to siphon the gasoline out of that RV. When the owner of the RV looked out his window, he saw what was going on, called the cops, and when they showed up, this guy was laying on the sidewalk, sick as could be. He had put his tube into the sewage tank and not the gas tank. Yeah. The owner of the RV said there's no need to press charges because he has already been punished enough. And we all got a good laugh out of it, the owner said. These two guys in Michigan, they had never robbed a bank before and wanted to go get some money, I guess. They were hard up, wanted to steal some money. And they walked in, each waving their revolvers around, and the first one yelled, nobody move. And when his partner went to jump the counter to get the money, the first one shot his partner because he moved. A guy in West Virginia went to mug a lady, and she had no cash on her. So he said, get your checkbook out, write me a check. He was arrested promptly that afternoon at the local bank cashing a check for $300. Some people, it's amazing what they'll do when they want to go get something. You know, I don't know if you're like me. You watch shows like Cops or, I admit, I watch Police Women of Broward County. We watch shows like that so that we can see the extremes that some people will go to get something that does not belong to them. And we know there are some people who aggressively do some crazy things, and there's just some dumb criminals out there. But did you realize theft is something that every one of us pay for every day? A study by the University of Chicago said that theft costs all of us, on average, every person in the United States, $17 a day. That's $4,100 a year, $1.7 trillion is how much theft costs us. You know, another study that I looked at said one out of every 52 people who walk into a store will leave with something they did not pay for. And all of the rest of us are taking up that cost. You know, the Bible has a lot to say about theft. We start at the Ten Commandments where it says, thou shalt not steal. But through the Old Testament, in Exodus 22, there was actually a punishment, a penalty that went along with theft. If you took someone's sheep, let's say, if you took two of their sheep, you had to pay them back double, so you had to repay them four sheep. In Numbers, we read, if you took something of someone and then you felt guilty and you confessed before you were caught, then you only had to pay them back one-fifth of whatever. So you would have to give them, I guess, a leg of a sheep back, or the value of the sheep, one-fifth of that back as restitution. What do you think it would be like today in our society if people realized that if they took something, they would have to pay back double what they took. I kind of wish that was the case. When I was 23 years old, and I will never forget this experience, I was living in Nashville, Tennessee. On the college campus where I attended, there were these towers. And in these towers were, it was a really cool situation because you had young adults like myself just getting started, and then you had senior adults. And it was awesome. I loved it because 3 or 4 days a week I'd come home and there would be like a plate of food sitting outside my door. I mean, it was a great setup for me. Walked outside one morning and my car was gone. I looked around and I was like, I know I parked it here. I always parked it in the same spot. And that was such a feeling of frustration, of anger, of confusion, because who would want a 1994 door Chevy Cavalier? But have you ever felt that? Have you ever been the victim of theft? Seen yourself on the other side of that situation? That's not a fun place to be in. So as we look the next few minutes, I want to share three basic principles with you that I've found in God's Word that I think really kind of builds into this whole idea of you must not steal, thou shalt not steal, or no stealing. And the first one of these principles is this, and I really think this, well, it's this: all stealing is stealing from God. All stealing is stealing from God. And I think there is one understanding we have to make. This is really the foundational principle of almost anything in Christianity, in my opinion. And it's found in Psalm 24, which says, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it." It's this idea of stewardship. Now work with me for a minute on this. You've heard me talk about it. You've heard Jason and others talk about this concept of stewardship. If you made $100 today, how much of that belongs to God? Well, $100 of it does. Because everything belongs to God, we are just the managers of it. So a lot of times we say, well, $10 belongs to God because that's the tithe he wants us to give. And I just want to interject something real quick. If we're to give, and God says give to the church, the tithe, the 10%, and we don't, is that stealing? So this whole idea of stewardship, all of it belongs to God. The $100 that you earn today, it all belongs to God. If I come and take $50 of that and I steal it from you, I'm stealing something from you that belongs to God that he just gave you to manage. So we have to understand that all stealing is stealing from God. Does that mean God doesn't want us to have anything? Of course not. God, in his word, does allow ways for us to acquire. Let me mention a few of them to you. One of the ways that God allows us to acquire is through good old work. We read in Ephesians 4:28, "Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands." In Proverbs, we read that the work of your hands will bring reward. My dad taught me a lot about hard work. And it's one of the things that I really appreciate him for. For example, there was the day we lived out in California when I was in middle school, and he told me to cut the grass. And he came home from lunch, and he said, "Before I get back this afternoon, as soon as you're done with your lunch, I want you to get out there and start working on the yard. Cut the grass, make it all look good, and things like that." He leaves, he goes off to work, I go jump in the pool. This would be the time, of course, that he forgot his briefcase at home. And he comes home and finds me in the pool. After a nice lecture and having to write 1,000 times, "Work comes before play," I got the point of what he wanted me to do. Then there was a time that he told me I had to go cut or had to rake all the leaves. I hate raking leaves. I think that is the worst chore that exists to mankind. I don't know what it is, but we had one of those big corner lots with lots of trees, and I figured out a way that I could rake most of the leaves and put them up in the shrubs and like between the shrubs and the house. That way I didn't have to bag them up. Because he told me to rake them all up, put them in a bag, and put them by the curb. When he got home that afternoon, he looked at the curb and looked at the 2 feet of leaves behind the bushes between that and the house. and said, I'll tell you what, I'm going to give you $3 for every bag that's out by the curb. All I could think of was how many bags of leaves were still behind the bushes that I would have got the $3 for if I would have done the work right. Principles of working, and when you work, you get the reward. Another way God allows us to acquire is through inheritance. Proverbs 13 says, good people leave an inheritance to their grandchildren, and I'm praying my parents are good people. I'm praying I can be a good person. But I do want to acknowledge here, it doesn't say you're bad if you don't. Inheritance, the Bible speaks of it, a way that God allows us to acquire. Another way is through gifts. I love to get gifts, but I more so, I love to give gifts. I'm one of those guys who, if I buy something for my wife, I have to give it to her that day. No matter if I found it on sale and her birthday's 2 weeks from now, Christmas is a month away, if I find it and I buy it now, I have to give it now. Because I get so proud of myself or something that I remembered the birthday or so. I don't know what it is, but I want to give it to her right now and just and see her reaction to everything. James talks about the idea that, or the fact that all good gifts come from God up above. He allows gifts as a way that we can acquire. Another way he allows us to acquire is through honest investments and trading. You may remember this story. We call it the parable of the talents. And it's in Matthew, the 25th chapter. And in this story, there's a master who owned quite a bit of property, quite a bit of land, had a lot of money. And he was going out of town for a while, so he gave some bags of silver to each of his servants for them to take care of it while he was gone. To the first one, he gave 5 bags. To the second one, he gave 2 bags. And to the third one, he gave 1. And he said, take care of this money while I'm gone. And when he returned, he wanted an accounting for what they did with the money. The one he gave 5 bags to said, here's 5 more bags. I had invested it and doubled your money. The master said, well done. The one he gave 2 bags to said, here's 2 more bags. And he had invested it and doubled the money. The master said, well done. To the one he gave 1 bag to, he went and dug a hole and he put the money in a hole. And when he came back, when the master came back, he undug it and said, here's your money. I didn't lose any of it. And the master said, not so well done. And he took the money and he gave it to the one who had 5 originally and doubled it. You see, there's this principle that God allows us to gain, to acquire through honest investments and through trading. But what God is very clear about in his word is thou shalt not steal. He makes right ways we can acquire, but he says there is a wrong way to acquire through stealing. And all stealing is stealing from God. Second point I want to talk to you about just for a minute is this idea that stealing starts in the heart. I don't know if you've paid much attention through this whole series of the Ten Commandments, but that's really the root of every one of these commandments, is they are all heart issues. I think the best way to illustrate this idea that stealing starts in the heart and the attitude of your heart is to look at this story that Jesus told in Luke, the 10th chapter. It's a familiar story to most of us. In fact, it's a popular story in our culture. We hear about it in the news. Have you ever read a newspaper or heard a story and they say, a good Samaritan stopped off today and delivered gifts to all these poor kids? Or whatever the case would be. See, this story of the good Samaritan, it really illustrates 3 different attitudes of the heart. Jesus tells this story and he says, there was a Jewish man leaving Jerusalem and going on the roadway to Jericho. It was known to be a very bad road, a very dangerous road. On his way, he was approached by some bandits, some thieves, who robbed him of everything, stripped him of his clothes, and beat him and left him half dead. With these thieves, we find the first attitude of the heart, that when it comes to this whole concept of thou shalt not steal, it's the attitude of the heart that most of us think about when we think you shouldn't steal. It's this attitude that says, what is yours is mine, I'll take it. And most of us will look out here and we say, well, that's not what I do. I don't go steal people's cars. I don't try to take stuff from mugging people. That's just, it's not what I do. That's kind of the extreme version that we think of. I'm not going to go beat someone, leaving them half dead. But Jesus, in telling the same story, he talks about a couple different people. He says a priest walked by, and this is a religious guy. A priest walks by, and he sees the Jewish man laying over there, and he walks to the other side of the road and just keeps on going. I mean, this is someone who grew up in the church, who knew right from wrong. Someone like a lot of us. Then he says a Levite comes by. A Levite is a temple assistant. This is another religious person who knew what he was supposed to do. And he walks by, does the same thing, looks at him, and continues on his journey. I don't think it was by accident that Jesus mentioned two religious type people who chose not to get engaged. And I think this goes to the next attitude of the heart. And maybe this is where a lot of us find ourselves, and is the idea that what is mine is mine, and I'll keep it. When we look at this idea of thou shalt not steal, well, what is the opposite of that? The opposite of that is giving. And that's when we find this third guy who comes along, the Good Samaritan. Now, you have to remember, the Samaritans and the Jews absolutely hated each other and still do to this day. This is hatred that's rooted deep in history. And the Good Samaritan, he sees a man, not a label. And he walks up to him, and Jesus says he takes his olive oil and his wine out of his bags and treats his wounds right there on the spot. Picks him up, puts him on his own donkey. Takes him to the inn, takes care of him as much as he can that day, gives the innkeeper 2 silver coins and says, take care of him, anything that he needs. And if there's anything else above and beyond this, I'll pay for it when I come back through town. And I think this really gets at the attitude of the heart Jesus is talking about in this story. And he says, what's mine is yours. I'll give it. So where do you find yourself when we say all stealing starts in the heart? Where is your heart? What is your heart saying? Is your heart saying, I'll take it? Is your heart saying, I'll keep it? Or is your heart saying, I'll give it? There's a third thing, a principle idea I want to talk to you about this morning that has to do with this whole thou shalt not steal. And this just boils it down to the very basic level. All stealing is sin. All stealing is sin. Back over spring break when we took our high school students to Haiti, had a great experience the whole trip. But I saw something that really amazed me. We were in the trucks with Etzel Redden, who does an incredible work serving down there. Many of you know him and know what he does. It's incredible. And I was sitting in the front seat of the truck with him. He said, look at this. We were in this part of Port-au-Prince next to the ports, and the roads are all horrible. I mean, there's potholes everywhere. People kind of making their own little lanes. There's just a one giant traffic jam. And it's next to where these giant tanks are that store the gasoline. And they have the semi-trucks going in and out, the tanker trucks, to go distribute the gasoline to the gas stations. And as they pull out into this giant traffic jam, trying to maneuver their way through this whole thing, these trucks are going real slow. Etzel says, look, watch those guys. It's a group of 3 or 4 guys, and they had 5-gallon buckets. They walked up to the tanker truck and just started walking beside it, undid the nozzle, and were filling their 5-gallon buckets with gasoline right off the truck as it's rolling along. I thought, man, that's brave right there. Broad daylight. I mean, what if the tanker truck guy, does he even know what's going on? Everybody around, they could pull out their camera phones or whatever, take a picture and send it to the police. You're busted, whatever. And it was crazy thing because it was almost like it was culturally acceptable to do some stealing at that level. And sadly enough, I feel like even among Christians, we have this idea that at some level, stealing is culturally acceptable. I'll give you just a couple examples. Cheating on your taxes. Stealing from the government. Now, there's a huge argument that can be made for what they wasted anyway. That's just one of the ways, and this next little point down there, that we justify our actions. Maybe it's taking some office supplies. You ran out of printer paper at your house, so you just grab some extra from work and put it in your bag and take it home. And we justify it saying, there's a big company, they don't pay me enough anyway, so I'm just getting my own little bonus here. Maybe it's you buy a CD or you download an album on iTunes and you copy it and just pass it out to all your friends. That's stealing. Taking money right out of the people who wrote the songs and the pockets of the people who performed the songs and made the CD. But we justify saying, I bought the CD, I can do whatever I want with it, even though it is breaking copyright laws. We do so much with, maybe at your business, you don't give a full day's work for a full day's pay because you spend time on the internet, on your phone, on Facebook, on whatever the case may be, and you're stealing from your company by not giving a full day's work for a full day's pay. Or maybe, okay, last couple of months, I've been teaching 7th and 8th grade boys. Had a conversation with some of our 7th and 8th grade boys 3 weeks ago. They saw my iPad, and they said, hey, you want us to get you some apps? We figured out how we can hack in and get you some apps. And I'm like, one, you're 7th and 8th grade. How do you know this? Two, do you realize you're in church? Do you realize I'm the minister, and you're telling me this? And do you realize I'm going to call your parents? Here was their justification. If they didn't want us to hack into these apps and download them for free, then they wouldn't write it so we could do it. They call it hacking for a reason. But we are so good at justifying our actions when there's something that we want. Here's the solution. Very last little blink there. Here's the solution. We find the solution in Ephesians, the 4th chapter, verse 28. And here's what it says in the New Living Translation. We read it a little bit earlier. In the New Living Translation, it says, if you are a thief, quit stealing. If any of these categories we've talked about apply to you, quit stealing. And then it goes on to say, instead, use your hands for good hard work, and then give generously to others in need. The opposite of stealing is giving. Paul says to the church in Ephesus, if you're stealing, quit and instead give. God said, don't steal, but yet all through the Bible we see give. What are you doing? Stealing or giving? My wife's favorite sitcom is Everybody Loves Raymond. I can relate to Raymond an awful lot in my life. Always doing stupid stuff, getting in trouble somehow. One episode, it starts off with Raymond and his daughter Allie and his dad Frank at a grocery store. And they're walking around and Raymond's like telling his daughter, go get broccoli. I hate broccoli. I just want marshmallows, blah, blah, blah. And they go their different ways, and Frank turns around, and there's this big canister of trail mix. And it's kind of you scoop and you fill your own bag. You've seen this episode? And there's a big sign over the top of that says, no sampling. And Frank looks up at the sign, reaches in, grabs him a handful of it, and just turns around, stands there just eating it. And his granddaughter's sitting there watching him. And the manager comes up and says, sir, that you're no stealing our food. And he just begins to go off on this manager in front of his granddaughter. And the rest of this episode is his granddaughter trying to come to grips with the idea of seeing grandpa stealing something and then trying to justify it and arguing with the manager over it. And it really got me thinking. I have a 16-month-old beautiful baby girl. As she follows in my footsteps and watches me, what is she going to see? What is she going to learn? Is she going to learn that dad values everything because it all belongs to God? That dad lives out stewardship? Is she going to see that dad is a giver, not a taker? Is she going to see a dad who justifies his actions to get what he wants? Or is she going to see a dad who, regardless of any situation, is obedient to God's word? Thou shalt not steal. You must not steal. No stealing. God, it's one of those messages that so many times we just write off. Because it is so easy to do that with something that's so big and broad like this, no stealing. And we always see this as the big stuff. But God, you look at every detail of our heart and every piece of our life. And so God, I just pray that we would do a little inventory here. Would you check our heart and help us to be honest and true before you in this area of this commandment, thou shalt not steal. Would you forgive us for what we do? Help us to be obedient to your word that says if you steal, stop, and instead give. In Jesus' name, amen.